In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Only the strong will survive.
Welcome once again to another installment of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. This is episode number 116, recorded August 8th, 2014. I am, of course, your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Plasticon.
How you guys doing? Been a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Just a week.
Just a week.
Megamus.
What's up?
And Brycey.
What's happening?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about some things that is near and dear to a lot of collectors' hearts, or has been of recent years, but sort of fallen out of favor with a lot of collectors since the advent of more masterpieces. And we're going to be talking about what a lot of people call Chug. And I know a lot of people hate that that anagram, or not anagram, but yeah, it's kind of a silly.
It's awful.
Sucks.
It does. But you know what we're talking about whenever we talk about Chug? It's classics.
Beer.
NK. Yeah, classics. NK universe, generations, and I guess reveal the shield, anything kind of under that that banner. But we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. Well, a few more minutes. But in the meantime, I want to highlight something new that's coming from Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure to our YouTube channel, as well as our podcast feed on your favorite podcast networks like iTunes and Double Twist. We are starting a new show here in the next couple weeks. It was going to start last night, but things, some scheduling conflicts happened. And, I mean, it was really bad timing for the two hosts. Insane Galvatron and I Am Unicron will be hosting that show. And I Am Unicron had to go out of town for the next couple weeks. And we all agreed that it would not be a good idea to have one show and then be gone for 2 weeks and then come back. So it was better to wait at least a couple weeks till he came back from his business trip, and then we'll start the show then. And also want to offer our condolences to Insane Galvatron. His grandfather passed away early this morning, and a really sad time in his family. I believe he was 96 years old. So it's really sad news to hear from a member of our podcast family, and we wish Insane Galvatron best wishes and everything in this time. It's our condolences. It's really sad. But also, the show is going to be called TFYLP Newsstand, and for you comic book fans out there, you're going to love this show. It's going to be all about the comics, IDW, Marvel, anything that's been in print for Transformers. And that includes anything like the novels. I know I Am Unicron did a TFYLP Minute earlier this year talking about one of the novels that that came out. And things like that will be discussed on the show. We're going to look into getting different guests featuring the comic book writers and artists. We're going to try to get those for the show. And it will be a weekly show, and it will be broadcast on Thursday nights on this YouTube channel that you're viewing us on. And if you're listening to us on a download, via the website or via iTunes or Double Twist or MP3 Skull or wherever you get your TFYLP fix, you will be able to download the episode's audio via the same channel, so you won't have to subscribe to any extra channels or any extra feeds or anything. They will all be in this one feed for TFYLP. And I'm really excited to see this come along. I won't personally be actually on the show, at least not on a regular basis, because generally I'm actually with – that's my family night, so I really don't have a whole lot of time to get on Thursday nights. So it'll primarily be Insane Galvatron and I Am Unicron. You guys have any thoughts on the new upcoming show? Anybody?
Not really, nope.
Well, I know the comics are a very popular part of the fandom. Not everybody's into them, and not everybody follows them. I personally like them. I just don't get a chance to actually read them all that often or get to a comic book shop. Matter of fact, I stepped inside of a comic book shop today for the first time in probably 3 months. I just don't have the opportunity to go all that often.
A comic book shop. We don't have those here.
And it's also expensive for me to get them. I'm the type of person too. I know people say, "Well, just digitally download them." Well, I'm the old school person. I like to have the book in my hand and turn the pages and stuff. And pinch and zoom just doesn't do it for me for comic books. But
I completely agree with you on that. I mean, myself, I like to collect the books themselves. Unfortunately, where I moved now, I don't really have any comic shops around, but at the moment, I mean, I do have several of the newer issues. I do like them, but I've seen where, you know, you have all these different kinds of books that come out. You got the graphic novels and you got the actual books, and then you got the storybooks from the 80s that came with the cassette tapes and everything. I think it's going to be interesting us having actually a show that's going to be basing a lot of that around it. I mean, even collector's guides, a lot of people don't know much about. So it's nice to have a show that actually tells these guys, this is what you need to look for. This is what's better than this, which actually will help out a lot of guys, especially when they're trying to go back and collect, say, the vintage comics or even trying to get into just the newer stuff. It's pretty interesting, especially how many genres Transformers has had through comic books alone. So I think it's actually a good thing.
Yeah. Well, whereas this show that we're on right here, we talk a lot about the toys. I mean, we're very toy heavy because essentially that is the heart and soul of this fandom is the toys. I mean, that's what we're all here for, or for the most part. And that's what we talk about a lot on here. We talk about the cartoons from time to time. But we really have been neglecting the comics, and it's not out of spite or anything. It's just that it deserves its own little heart and soul. And I Am Unicron and Insane Galvatron are going to be bringing that to you each week, starting in a couple weeks on our YouTube channel. I know Plasticon, he has finished a video intro and outro for the show. It looks phenomenal. Check it out on our YouTube channel. Also want to thank Avenging Tragedy again for creating the TFYLP logo that we use each week. And it is currently being vector-based converted by Ryan Wick, a listener. And I want to thank him for all of his help and everything that he's offering. We want to be updating and revamping the look and feel of the show over the coming weeks. Not necessarily the content, because we like the content kind of where it's at, but we're always trying to make it better. Just kind of making things look a little fresher, trying to bring things that are interesting and new to the fans and different ways to interact with the fans. Also want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, Tater X. I got to hang out with him this afternoon. And we're going to get together tomorrow. I got a trade that I've worked out with a local collector, and I'm going to meet up with him. And then Tate and I are going to go around and check out some places that I've not been to in this area. And also, Robert Antu, if you're listening to the show, your Sunstorm is sitting right here, just over my shoulder. and it will be on its way to you tomorrow. I will get it on the way. I didn't get home in time to get it boxed up, but it will be on its way. Went into Toys R Us today and just look around. I had to take my iMac to the Apple Store, and it's currently there right now. So hopefully my editing tools will be returned to me very shortly. They told me 3 to 5 days to get it fixed. So I went over to Toys R Us to kind of goof off. I hadn't been in there in probably 3 or 4 months, and they had about 5 Sunstorms sitting there behind the counter. And since I already have Sunstorm, I figured I would help out some fellow collectors, and offered it up on Facebook. If anybody wanted one, I happened to be in the store. If they could have paid me in the next 10 minutes, pay me the price plus shipping, and I'll get it to you. And Robert contacted me via Facebook, and I was able to pick him one up. I'm happy to help out a fellow collector in that aspect. It's always cool. If any of you guys had a chance to pick up Sunstorm, the Hasbro version, and open it up and mess with it, and what's your thoughts? And Brett, I can't hear you. He's still muted.
How about now?
Nah, there we go.
That's the headset. I did get it. I didn't get a chance to open it yet. It's sitting over here with my pile to do. But I plan on doing a... there it is. I plan on doing a review for it. And I figured if someone wanted it, they could just, I would sell it at cost when I'm done. I'm just going to take it out of the box, compare it to the other one, and then put it back in. So that's something else. If anyone wants to put their name in the ring there for it, they can go ahead and do so. I'm also going to do the same thing for the Prowl also. I'm going to do it for both. And the same thing, if someone wants one, it would just be cost.
I'm interested to see if there's any differences in the Prowl between the Hasbro and the Takara. I've heard that there is none as far as the toy is concerned.
Trademark on the inside of the 1 foot for the Hasbro one.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Well, aside from that, then I don't really see a difference.
Well, I was kind of hoping that they would make this one more of an animated color. Or just something different.
Toy color would be nice. Yes. The stripes on the shoulders and everything. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but nothing.
Does the Rubber Labels actually... I'm just curious. Does Rubber Labels actually have a Diaclone sticker set for that thing out yet?
Yes. It's on the Rubber
set for the Diaclone?
Give me a sec.
No, I was also wondering, what is it, the Spanish release where it says Policia on it?
No.
Do they do that? I'm just wondering, because it'd be kind of interesting to see somebody that has like 3 of those lined up, and then one having a Spanish, one Diaclone, the one either Hasbro or Takara. Should be kind of cool to see how they lined up.
Your video feed's not coming through on my end, Bryce. So there we go.
Yours isn't coming through on my end either.
No, actually, I'm checking the live feed, and
there's a
Duran's. Yours isn't.
Mine isn't.
Google Plus is just acting all wonky. That's why we started so late today, is because it wasn't letting Headmaster Dawn onto the Hangout here. We've been having some problems with that. I wish there was another alternative to Google Plus as far as, live video feeds, but really have no options at this time. But we're sorry for any technical issues. But as far as Sunstorm goes, I'm really pleased with it. The differentiation between it and the Takara one, obviously the Takara one is white and orange, more like a dreamsicle, orange popsicle. Color, and a lot of people have been humorously calling the Hasbro Sunstorm Ronald McDonald Storm, and I kind of see that. Yeah. If you could put a hamburger and some fries in front of him.
He does really have that clownish kind of appearance, because, I mean, that literally is like McDonald's colors. Yeah. Although, you know, it's kind of hard to not do that with that figure. Although they should have just released the crazy thing in orange. So.
Well, I'm just looking at the box, and I'll do a more in-depth one, but it looks like it's got red stripes on the shoulders, whereas the Takara one doesn't. It's kind of plain, so I kind of like the Hasbro one on that.
The flames really set it off.
But then they did the little red diaper with the yellow crotch piece, which is, you know, that's wonderful. That's just, you know, make that pop. And then the red knee pads. Yeah, it's those are misplaced. So there's probably some parts of it I will like and some that I'll like on the Takara one. But I'm pretty sure I'm just going to be keeping my Takara one.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find a picture. I posted some pictures the other day.
Yeah, I was trying to show you Plasticon.
Okay.
There's the Prowl set. And the yellow bordered one there has the Diaclone over top of it.
Oh, nice.
And then that you can pick your cities. There's a city missing off these. This is one of the ones that we use for the photo shoot.
So for our listeners, how much does that cost?
I would have to double check. Give me a second.
Okay.
Because I know one thing a lot of people have been doing is getting hold of these Repro Label sticker sets for their masterpieces that have been coming out. Some people were actually really interested in that. So
now I don't know. Can you guys see the Sunstorm that I have up there?
$7.
Yes, we can. $7. Yeah. So for $7, guys, you guys can relabel your Prowl as Diaclone, or just go purchase two and then make one Diaclone, one the regular one.
Mm-hmm. And it's got all the toy stickers too, like the 2800 CP for the waist and stuff.
Nice.
But
I like little details like that. But Duran's actually got a picture of Sunstorm up, and you can actually see the flame decals, like the details, like in the wings. Very interesting.
Well, like I said, I'm going to try and get off my butt and actually do a. We were talking about maybe doing another TFYLP minute. And I'll put them next to each other, and that way you can actually see just how much, you know, what the paint apps are and how different it is, and then that way you can decide which one you want to get.
I think that would be an excellent idea, especially for some of our viewers who are not really – you're kind of on the fence on either one. So it would really help them out.
What's really interesting about the flame detail on the wings is that it's almost like it's a clear coat over the yellow. So the flames almost, they have like a ghostly like appearance on the wings, and that it's really, really nice.
Yeah, I love it when they actually just put in like crazy details like that. So I'm pretty excited about Star Saber, although I'm really wondering where they're going to be going with that mold. Like, are they going to go like paint job wise? Are they going to go straight with the toy? Are they going to make it more, you know, the animation style, or what are they going to go with that? Because technically they're not going to be, I would think they'd probably go more animation than anything, because it seems to be the trend with all these, you know.
Yeah, I'd think to say animation probably. He's one of my most anticipated toys, though.
What, Star Saber?
Yeah.
Well, from the pictures I've seen that they put out, they leaked pictures that Star Saber literally, the masterpiece is maybe a quarter of an inch, if not that, slightly taller than the original. And the Star Saber Interjet mode with the Brainmaster installed is as tall as Masterpiece Prowl. So
the original is pretty big.
Yeah, so they're doing a good job with scale wise. I think it's actually going to fit in perfectly, because he needs to be a big robot. He has to be bigger than Prime. He's got to be at least Ultra Magnus or bigger. So, you know, it fits his aesthetic, because he's supposed to be a gigantic intergalactic starship. So, it fits. I like it.
Indeed.
More, please.
Let us move on to our main topic of discussion today. We're going to be talking about Chug. And I know a lot of you hate that acronym, chug, but chug. But you know, it's really descriptive, because whenever you look at it and break it down, it's the classics, Henkei, Universe, Generations. All of those figures basically refer to what a lot of people just blanket cover classics. And the reason that we do that is because, well, there's the toys that fall under this category have been released under so many different packaging variants. It's hard to just call them one line and it stick, because when you say classics, automatically people think back to the actual classics, the first ones with Prime and Bumblebee and Starscream and Grimlock and Hot Rod, or Rodimus rather. But generally, classics can also mean everything up to what's on the shelf right now in Whirl, Roadbuster, and Blitzwing. And Jetfire. To an extent, yeah, and Jetfire coming out in a little bit. And those are actually under the Generations line, under the Generations packaging. And Generations itself has been through several packaging changes, as well as Universe. Universe started out in very Armada-like packaging, and then it morphed into whatever the current line was. It just kind of changed as it went. Universe really started out around, I'm wanting to say, was it the Unicron trilogy? And we started seeing basically they were repaints of older figures. And I remember some of the early ones were actually kind of cool. You had an Optimus Primal from Beast Wars that was painted almost like Rodimus Prime colors. They were kind of reddish and yellows and everything. Then you had the Machine War Starscream or Skyquake mold that was repainted into King Atlas, a homage to Die Atlas. And that, I think, is really where the homaging really, or homages, or however you pronounce it, really kicked off with the toy line and became what it eventually was. I mean, that Classics Prime mold has been used how many times? I mean, it was just reused in the most recent BotCon set as Jinrai. So it's a timeless mold.
Well, it's mainly because it has developed the two different molds for the Generations line. They had the one that everybody disliked of the Optimus Prime that spins around like a flailing moron. It's a great-looking truck mode, but you know, the gimmick is what screwed it up, I think. If they would have got rid of the gimmick, it would have actually been a pretty decent toy.
Oh, are you talking about the one that was in the two-pack?
The two-pack,
yes.
Yeah,
that one.
But then, they also call it Bendy Prime.
I didn't think it was that bad.
No, Bendy Prime was the Armada Deluxe Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about
let me ask this real quick.
The button on the back and he spins around. I mean, that would have been an okay Prime.
You talk about Chug, and I'm just looking, and the first one that I see is Classics, which came out in 2006. But in 2002, they did have a Universe line. Now, if you're talking about Chug, are you talking about the Universe or the Universe 2.0?
Well, that's one of the reasons why whenever I named this episode, we're talking about Chug and Universe. Well, whenever you say Chug, you're talking about Classics, Henkei, Universe, and Generation.
Yeah, but I honestly think you're talking about Universe 2.0.
But Universe, the very first Universe, Universe 1.0, that's right. Where I believe we got a lot of the precursors of what would eventually become
that's
Universe.
You got all those the repaints of the Machine Wars.
Yeah,
you got a lot of molds that people didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honest with you. The King Atlas was the first time I'd ever owned the Machine War Starscream mold, or the technically it's the Skyquake mold since that came first.
Yeah, but the funny part is that in actuality, it actually goes for more money than the daggone Machine War Starscream.
Yeah, Machine War Starscream I picked up for less than $20.
Oh yeah,
complete.
Yeah.
So,
don't deny, it's a great mold. It's a great toy. I love that thing. I think it's probably one of the coolest molds that was ever produced. I mean, I have G1 Skyquake, but once I got a hold of that Starscream, I'm like, this is great. Now I kind of need to chase down King Atlas because, you know, it's...
Well, that's because you can't really transform your Skyquake either. You'll break it.
Well, I have actually had really not very many issues whatsoever with that. The only thing is I never plug anything into the back of it in order to cause the GPS to shatter on the very back where you're supposed to use the eye gimmick. So
see, I heard that just by transforming it and locking it into place can crack it.
I haven't had that issue, but some people, you know, it just depends, I guess, because I've heard of some people like, you know, yourself, you had a Electro. You've took it out, had no issues with it. But I've heard some people have an Electro and it just completely explode in their hands. So when it comes to that problem, sometimes, you know, it went clear into, like, what was it like? When was the last major GPS thing that was produced? Was that, like, Beast G2? Wars 2?
Beast Wars, no, Randy.
There was that Beast Wars, like, it was like a wild boar. I don't remember his name, but he was GPS.
Yeah, that was Randy.
That's all that thing was.
Yeah, and it would just shatter. I don't know. Is that the last one?
I don't know. No. I don't think there was anything during
Universe Superion.
You are absolutely right. Yeah, I completely forgot about that one because it's got the gold
waste piece.
Yeah, gold waste piece, and it also has the gun for gold. So you're absolutely right. And that's actually a line that a lot of people don't really talk much about, like during like the Universe line. Everybody thinks about the other ones. Well, think about all the MicroMaster sets that were released. Most people in any way that molds existed, those were molds they used during Generation 1 toward the tail end for MicroMasters.
Operation Combination.
Yep. And a lot of people didn't even know anything about it because it didn't exist in the States. It barely existed in Europe, from what I gather.
It barely existed in Japan.
Yeah, it's a rarity, but those things are awesome. They're great molds. I mean, like, if you guys are in the market for Universe toys that are G1, go for that Devastator or the
Rail Racer.
Yeah, there's Rail Racer, there was Devastator, and there's also the
Defensor.
Yeah.
So I just put up a picture.
You might want to avoid unless you think you can get on eBay and buy like a replacement waist piece and a replacement gun and maybe paint them to work with it, which would work.
You're talking about this one right here, the Universe Superion with the waist piece in all gold and the gun.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one at TFCon and in the box while I took it upstairs, it was shattered in three places. I was just like, I don't want this.
I had that one, and I also had the rare, like the extremely rare chase version of the Devastator, and I sold both of them off to somebody that wanted them, and I didn't have any issues with mine, but it's not to say that wouldn't happen later on. I mean, like I was saying, if you guys are actually in the market for those, try to find those, or there's that rare chase version that came out that's the Decepticons is the same Superion mold.
That one's not that rare. It's the white one that's rare.
The white one's the stupid one.
What was that called? Not Frenzy.
Berserker.
Berserker.
Yeah.
Still need to find that one.
But I mean, those
I need to find it too. Wait a minute. Sets. It's right up there. Oh, yeah.
There, you found
but
it.
Those, I found it.
But I mean, those were interesting sets that they gave us during Universe. I mean, you also had the Scourge and Bludgeon that came out that were in that line too. That were the Hero Prime and Hero Megatron.
Yeah, but they didn't have any.
Those were under the same. No, they didn't have GPS, but I'm saying, like, in that line that came out during the universe line, those were on there, too.
Well, you had Destructicon Scourge and Destructicon Bludgeon.
Yeah, they were Destructicons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which they're actually really nice decos of those two molds as well. I had them.
Oh, they're beautiful.
They were KB toy exclusives, and
I'd be happy with everything except that it was Bludgeon. I'm sorry, you know, I didn't see the little samurai type warrior out of that tank.
Well, I think they were just stretching for it. I mean, at the time
I think they were just using the name.
Yeah, at the time, and that's what a lot of what the early Universe toys did. They were like stretch homages, if I could use that terminology. I mean, it's like you could look at the figure like King Atlas. You could look at it and you're like, kind of looks like Diatlas, but not really. You know, I mean, it has kind of his color scheme. Yeah, it kind of has his color scheme, but not really. That is like Rodimus Primal. You know, is like, I mean, there were some funny names that came out. But yet there was some really cool decos of relatively recent toys that came out in Universe as well. For example, the Carr Brothers. There was an RID Sideburn that had like a translucent body with like a almost like a honeycomb, I think, deco in it. And it was really, really nice. I believe there was like a what was the red
one? There was another one too.
Was there a red alert? Yeah, there was a red alert, I believe, done.
Yeah, there was a red alert done out of the Prowl mold.
Yeah,
I believe.
And then like there was like a funky X-Brawn color scheme that came out of it.
I just remember the sideburn.
Yeah, that's supposed to look like was it voiced?
Something like that.
I know for a fact, like the Spy Changers themselves, they did a lot of homages with those too. So I mean, you got a one that looked like Trailbreaker.
Yeah, he's got it up right there.
I've got that one.
Yeah, that's a sideburn. I thought it was neat because it had like the deco on the front hood.
Yeah, it's like a honeycomb almost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they were going with like a fiber.
It's supposed to be like carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber. That's it. That's what I was thinking of. And then it had the gold wheels, which believe it or not, that actually made me think of the old Hot Wheels. When we got the gold wheels, we thought those were neat.
Yeah.
That they would go faster. Yes, of course. Because
it would have been cool if they actually had pinstripe around the wheels too.
Yeah, made them red lines.
Yeah, they should have redlined it too. That would have made it even cooler.
But yeah, those the early Universe stuff. I mean, it was almost like when Hasbro first really started acknowledging, hey, there's a collector fan base out there. We really don't have we're not ready to reissue anything. We're not really ready to dedicate new molds to this, but. It's really when we started seeing them really hammer something that we see them do quite often today, and that's what taking a mold and milking it for every dime they can get out of it. Right. For example, the Sunstorm that we just talked about.
Well, yeah, and then the prime example that had happened during the Universe time was when they came out with the Ruination mold. They milked that mold.
Urban camo, tiger stripe. But the funny thing is, they never did a G1 Bruticus color of it or a Battle Gaia or anything like that, which was just like, these would sell right off the bat, right on the shelf, but they never did do those decos. I never could figure that out. And those were ready molds.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where they were going with it, but there's also, you know, they could have easily done, like, if they were going to do, like, the Operation Combination one that's, like, you're talking about, like, Battle Gaia, I mean, they could have done Gaia Guardian, which was the Defensor mold, but they didn't. What I'm thinking is, during the time they're testing water, hey, there might be a demand for this combiner again, so let's just throw it out there in this one color, and they saw that it was selling, so they're like, okay, well, we'll just put out there a couple more times in different colors and then see if that sells. And that's what they did. And then by that point, they were pretty much done with doing what they were doing and moving on.
Yeah. So, well, I remember, what I was talking about earlier, you know, how some of the funny names like the Rodimus Primal that came out of some of these universe redecos, that yellow and it was like a tiger striped ruination and everything. A lot of people just kind of rearranged some of the letters and called it urination because it was more yellow and kind of resembled piss, you know. So, but I would absolutely love to go back and get one of those urban camo ruinations, the one with the like the digital camo.
It was the gray mold. It was gray. It was a very well thought out concept with the colors.
I believe it was a Walmart exclusive. Is what it was.
The tiger stripe reminded me of G.I. Joe when I saw that, because it reminded me of the G.I. Joe Tiger Force that they had, and I really enjoyed that. Although, you know, it would have been kind of cool if they, on the Vortex, they could have painted, like, teeth like a freaking shark or something on the front, which would have been cool, you know. But I can see, you know, they did what they could with that mold to kind of get it out there, considering, you know, they were bringing that particular character into RID. So instead of just putting the one version out there, they, you know, duplicated it and gave us a few exclusives, which was kind of cool. And honestly, what's funny is it's not under Robots in Disguise. It's also under Universe when you look at the packaging, which was very confusing at the time. Because if you think about it, when you went and saw Optimus Prime, you were like, is that from the cartoon? Or are they redoing Optimus? What are they doing? Because it was a fire truck. Most people didn't know that, you know, this whole thing came from Car Robots over there. So a lot of people were very confused. And some people don't know this, but Ruination himself was actually in two different color schemes. You had the American scheme, and then you had the Japan. And the Carist was a little different. The Brawl was more of a desert camo color versus, I forget what it was in the States. I think it was like blue.
Yeah, he was like blueberry colored. Yeah.
Yeah, it was blueberry colored. And he was a variation. Same thing with the combiner parts. The combiner parts over in Europe, or not Europe, but Japan, they were like a beigeish color, almost kind of a, it wasn't like a gold. It was a very odd yellow is what they used. And over here in the States, everything was gray. Mm-hmm. So they had variations between them, which was kind of cool. So technically, there's four different versions of that mold that you could have got. And this is for, you know, some of our younger viewers, they don't know this. If you want a cheap Bruticus, go hunt down a Ruination.
Urination,
whatever you want to call it, hunt one of those down. So that way you guys can actually experience the mold and play with it. It's a very fun toy. That mold's awesome.
Well, you know, like what we were saying earlier, though, essentially this is when Hasbro really started hammering the repaint. The Universe line was entirely a repaint line up until, you know, I guess 06, whenever the actual classic started. You had, I guess is where Hasbro was saying, hey, let's test the waters. Let's see how these sell. And if we're, and everything, we've already made our money back on these molds. Let's just put these molds out there. They haven't been released in a while. A lot of them hadn't. Like the Beast Wars molds that were redecos. There was heavy Beast Wars redecos in the early Universe line. And they put these molds out there, and we snapped them up. Honestly, I snapped them up back whenever I was in my completionist age, because I had to buy every Transformer that, or every toy that had Transformer on it. And I got some of these Beast Wars molds that I never had a chance to own before. And some of them I already had. I'll be honest with you, the Universe Optimus Primal, the Rodimus Primal, as people call it, that was the very first experience I ever had with Optimus Primal, Beast Wars Optimus Primal. And I loved it so much, I actually went and hunted down an actual Optimus Primal. And, you know, it gave a lot of people that were just coming back into the fandom, especially since RID reintroduced vehicular form Transformers back into the to the world after a few years of having beast forms, and it was drawing a lot of fans back in. I'll admit I was one of those. You know, I started collecting again back in the in 99, early 2000, and you know, this was my opportunity to pick up some of those early Beast Wars molds that I wasn't able to get. Some of the late G1 molds, like the Skyquake mold. I was in even unaware of Skyquake until that mold was released, and I got to looking at the etymology of that that toy and discovered, you know, hey, this was Machine Wars Starscream, and this was you know, Skyquake, and at that time, those toys were demanding high prices. Even then, they've come down considerably since because a lot of people they were of lesser known lines, and a lot of people don't really want those now. But you know, your hardcore collectors that are collecting little niche things. I mean, I'm near complete with a Machine Wars collection. All I need is Optimus Prime, and I had to hunt down a Starscream. I got him for like $20 shipped, I want to say, and he's 100% complete.
Well, I mean, my
introduction to him came through Universe.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, one thing that I noticed is I got bit with that bug too when, you know, it came back to round two, avoiding, you know, all the Beast era stuff, because at the time, you know, I really wasn't into the Beast Wars stuff. I liked the vehicles. I'd still kick myself to this day for this, but walked into the Toys R Us's at the time, and this is when a lot of the G1 reissues started hitting Toys R Us as well.
Around 2004.
Around that time. It was like after, you know, they started doing some of these rehashes of Universe, some of that stuff started hitting Toys R Us. And, you know, there really wasn't a big demand of, like, a whole lot of these, like, real articulated versions of G1 toys. And then, all of a sudden, we got G1 toys on the shelf, and I'm like, what's this? Are they planning on bringing back the entire line? That's what I was thinking in the back of my head. At the time, I didn't have a lot of money. I couldn't purchase them. But they were very, very cool. It was really neat seeing that. And then not long after that, walking into a Hastings, I saw an articulated version of the Classics Prime that everybody talks about. And I thought that was just one of the coolest things I ever saw. I was like, it's an articulated Prime. That's pretty cool. And he's not like some big, humongous one, because at the time they also had the Masterpieces that were coming out, the MP01s. So that was kind of like, it was like a weird era there where it came out with an articulated smaller one that you can afford, and then you had like a Masterpiece there too. So very odd time.
The thing is, once Universe kind of came and went, I'm wanting to say there was like a year or so there between like 04. I'm not even sure if there was much, if anything, in Universe that was released in 05. I could be wrong on that. But then along in 06 came the Classics, like I alluded to earlier, Bumblebee, Prime, the Nerf Gun Megatron, and those toys like that. The G1 fans just rejoiced. I know I did. Especially whenever Hot Rod. I mean, that was the best Hot Rod that we had had, like, ever. Until, I guess Masterpiece came out. But, you know, and still to this day, a lot of people will argue that that is probably the best Hot Rod that's been released.
With the Protector armor that came out, it really did drive the demand of that particular toy to go skyrocketing. But yes, that the first time I had that mold myself was when they came out with the 2-pack with the Cyclonus. Because at the time I was still collecting some Transformers here and there. And I happened to have saw that on the shelf, and I was like, that's cool. I like Cyclonus, and that's actually not a bad-looking Rodimus. A lot of people didn't like that Rodimus because of the baby blue windows and the kind of off colors, but I was like,
this is like
a cartoon. I enjoyed that. So I'm one of the oddballs that was like, hey, why don't they do Protector armor for it? But they never did. So.
And that's the Cyclonus mold, that to this day is probably one of my favorite classics molds. You know, I mean, it just captured the essence of Cyclonus so perfectly.
Right, and that's where I've been kind of thinking. I'm like, because they have that, I forget who the third-party company is, but they released a classics.
KFC.
Yeah, KFC decided to make their own version of this toy, and I'm like,
Bryce, is there got really there.
A Tempest? Yeah. Well, is there really a demand for this thing?
Okay, that's the Battle in Space one.
Oh, that's okay. That's
I'm not buying.
But I mean, but that's my question. I mean, to all our guys out there, it's like, why would you want to buy that third party toy that's coming out when the one we actually already have is pretty superior compared to the other one? I don't understand the logic behind that. Unless
the need for it. Yeah.
There's really not a need for it. It's really weird. Now, what I'd like to see is like an updated version of Scourge, although we got that weird Batwing looking version, but I'd like them to try to go revisit that weird sled looking thing that flew.
Yeah.
And see what they could
do flying bar of soap.
That mold. Yeah. It'd be very interesting to see what they could do with that. Cause I mean, to me, everybody says a flying bar of soap, but I always thought it was a weird looking hovercraft.
That's it
And nice it'd be interesting to see what Hasbro could do with that now.
I always thought it was a boat.
Yeah, kind of looks
flying
like one.
Boat.
You got really a cool, right? Render form sword on that, Brycey?
Yeah.
You can check that out at our friend over at Render Form, Vangsta. He makes those add-on kits, like for the... Yeah, they're like
it's a for the Death Stars.
Yeah,
it's for the Death Stars.
This sword is but there's silver and gold available separate.
Yeah, and he makes some really cool add-on sets. You can check out Render Form and give him some business. He's got some great stuff over there. I love Vangsta. He's a great guy, and I really urge people to support him and his effort. And while I'm at it, I want to plug our sponsors, CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, as well as Mega Toy Fan. Check them out at conventions and online, MegaToyFan.com. Now, classics pretty much faded off after the first couple waves. You know, we had some great things released. We had the Sideswipe and Sunstreaker mold as brothers. Is basically the same mold, just inverted. And it looked so different, you really didn't care that they were the same mold. And it kind of faded off. And it came back with more universe. I guess the universe was the 2.0 was like Sunstreaker and Sideswipe, Astral Train. And then we had Generations. That's whenever we started getting like Scourge.
Red Alert.
Yeah, Red Alert, Thrust, Dirge. We Ramjet came out in, Thundercracker. Ramjet came out in the original Classics line.
Right, but you also have to remember, right when Generations came out, that's when they pissed off a lot of people with those Seekers.
Yes.
Really can't talk about the Chug or whatever you want to call it line unless you kind of address the slap in the face.
That Oops, sounded like something.
But the slap in the face of all those people that paid big money for that Seeker set, that BotCon Seeker set.
2006,
just to get a better version for a fraction of the price. And a lot of people since then, that's why you don't get the big, you know, $2,000, $3,000 BotCon sets anymore. I mean, a couple of them have held their value somewhat, but for the most part, everyone's like, they're just going to make one eventually.
Better. Yeah.
They're just going to make one better. And, I thought that was a bad idea. I really do. I believe that was poor planning. I don't know if that was Fun Publications not knowing that was going to happen later, or maybe that was Hasbro going, hey, those sold pretty well, we can make those. I don't know.
That makes me think. I would like to have a show where we talk about nothing but BotCon and show club exclusives. I wonder if there's if we could get Pete back on here to talk about those. You know, past club exclusives and BotCon exclusives, and talk about some hits and misses with them I know we spoke a little bit about it whenever he was on the show, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about the process behind going into the toys themselves. This is tied into what we're talking about tonight because, a lot of times the BotCon sets are reuses and slight remolds of a lot of these Chug toys. For the last 7 to 8 years, these Chug or Classic Generations, whatever you want to refer to them, toys have been the hot commodity in the fandom. You've had a lot of people shelling out big money. How many people shelled out a couple hundred bucks for the Classics Ultra Magnus mold whenever the third-party City Commander armor came out? That was a hot commodity. You could not get that. And because the U.S. version was packaged with the Skywarp, value went way up.
Everyone wanted to get their Seeker set that couldn't afford the BotCon set.
Yeah.
So that also hyped the price. So you had two figures that all of a sudden came very hard to get. So
and that set then just along comes Henkei, which was the Japanese version of the Classics toys, the Generations and Classics, came along about a year or so later after we got them here in the U.S., which is odd. Usually things hit Japan first or simultaneously with us. Well, in Japan, it's almost like there's a year delay. Well, in Japan, this is really what kicked off with the better paint scheme and better deco on a lot of the toys. Here in the United States, we might get a toy that is very bland, very sparse in its decorations. But in Japan, you may get something that's got chrome, where the U.S. version had no chrome. And sometimes one of the hallmarks of the early Henkeis was chrome in random places. It really didn't make sense.
Like this one, the joints that don't hold anything.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
But, and sometimes it's, you had paint decos, accessories. You had three packs over there, like with the United. The United line is also a continuation of a lot of the Classics and Generations molds in Japan.
Like the Cyclonus, Scourge, and Galvatron 3-pack, where they were all translucent or something. They were really
weird. That made no sense to me.
And, well, the reason
it was sense to me either, but I think it was cool, though.
Well, the reason it was translucent is it was harkening back to that scene from the 1986 movie whenever Galvatron, Cyclonus, and Scourge were being formatted by Unicron. And
so that was their format.
That was their formatting. Their whenever they were being scanned and they were like translucent for like a second. Shining yellow.
Saying, what's that got to do with Megatron or Galvatron turning into a tank?
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things where Universe and Classics in general, it was a hit or miss. We can't talk about that line without mentioning that it was a hit or miss with a lot of those molds.
Mold with the feet that come out of the bottom that make it look like it's a walking kind of tank. I think what it is the designers behind the thing, pretty much kind of like Arachnid, I believe. I think the budgets got cut or they just got pressed for time and they had to just get it out.
Galvatron was supposed to be a Voyager, and he was supposed to turn into a cannon, too.
So you and got half-assed. It was nixed. Yeah.
Same with this thing. This thing sucks.
Yeah, I think I had Astro Terrain as well. And that one, it just felt like it was missing something. Like they weren't done making this toy when they
didn't try. The shuttle's wings are like entirely the train's front.
Yeah.
And then the train's back end looks like hollow plastic draped over top of it. It's just didn't do much for me.
No, it wasn't the greatest mold. I mean, when I had mine, I wasn't that sold on it. Even when they decided to do the Henkei release of it, where it was in the cartoon colors.
Which was gorgeous, by the way. I thought
it looked really good.
It was pretty. Okay, don't get me wrong. Colors were great, but it's still the same. The mold was garbage.
Well, you know, that's one thing that fellow cast member Dr. Arkaville, Tobias, he wanted us to mention, you know, molds like Astro Train and a couple others that were favorite characters, and they almost got right. You know, I mean, they got him right as far as robot. He was a train, and he was a locomotive, I mean, or a space shuttle. You know, they got his three modes right. He was a triple changer. They got it just right. It's just that he had so much kibble and his proportions were so off. Is there any toys in the Classics line that they almost got right, but you would love them love to see them do again?
Ironhide.
Hound?
I really like the Hound that they
tried. I thought Hound just... Okay, well, with Hound looked great. Don't get me wrong. I love the way he looked. But he just didn't... He had that weird aesthetic where he didn't look like he exactly fit in with everybody else.
He almost had an anime.
Chunky kind of. Yeah.
I think Hound was almost perfect.
Yeah.
Everything folded up into the legs. Like, everything folded up, and then the arms came out. They were articulated. But who here can honestly say they look at Prime and think that if they would have just done something with that stupid forearm kibble, with the sides of the plate, you know, the sides of the cab on the forearms, if they would have moved that to the back, that would have been an awesome figure for that and Ultimatus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right there, that was like, you're so close to making a perfect, you know, deluxe size figure, and you dropped the ball on it.
I agree with you with that. I mean, honestly, I think that mold suffered from that arm kibble. I mean, there was times it was like, they could have just engineered a hinge where instead of it folded out like it did, make it flip around so that way it just hugged his arm. And that's right. All he really needed.
I mean, I would have rather have had a big old backpack kibble than the daggone arm kibble we got. It just detracted so much from it.
Right. I agree with you. But, I mean, what I was saying with Hound is I liked his aesthetic. He just didn't look like he fit in with that entire line. That's the only thing that kind of annoyed me.
I'll give you another good one was Wheeljack and Trax. I actually thought it was really, really close, but it's like all he had to do was extend the torso just a hair, and I think it would have been a heck of a lot better. Just a little added extra little, you know, notch to extend him, and it would have made a world of difference.
I think that mold worked best as Trax, but not as great as Wheeljack. I think Wheeljack was more too much of a stretch for him for that mold. Because
I do too. I actually look at it the opposite.
I
look at that mold and I think of Wheeljack.
I disagree. That Wheeljack mold was perfect to me.
No. Have you seen some of there's a couple mods you can do to actually make it a little bit longer so that the canopy doesn't completely cover his crotch. It actually comes up and becomes a chest piece. Yeah. And it looks amazing, a big difference. And all they had to do was add just a little extension to the torso. Just a little thing that you popped out, fixed it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have two of that mold. I've got one that I got off a buddy of mine that actually has all the Repro labels on it to make it more G1. And I have one that I haven't modified it. I love that mold. I think it's a fun mold to play with. It's a great mold. It's interesting how they turned it into Trax, but I really like that mold. I thought it was very well done.
Well, didn't it come out as Trax first?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yes. It came out of Trax first, but I mean, I
basically all they did was flip the legs around.
Yeah.
But it fits the Wheeljack aesthetic for me. I enjoy it.
I agree. I think it fits both of them. But like I said, that's one of those ones just like the Prime. The Prime's a great mold. They came really close, and then they just like, let's just throw it together.
It's like we're close enough, and that'll do it.
They'll buy this.
And we did over and over and over, and we're still buying it.
It's like they're gonna have this big transforming log, you know, and have a big Autobot symbol on it, and somebody would buy it.
The color red, blue, and
exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter. There's people out there I've seen that buy even these weird sushi dishes, and it turns into a little robot, and it's like it's not.
And I believe we lost
Plastic. And he is out of here.
And I'm buying those damn sushi robots.
You're doing what?
Buying those sushi robots.
Ugh.
Gotta have some strange things. I'll give them to the wife.
Yeah, Brycey likes a little strange every now and then.
Gotta have strange. Yeah, but then who doesn't? Who doesn't? Come on now.
I like my wife. I'm sorry. But are you back with us?
I'm back.
But
it keeps locking up for some reason. Thanks to DSL, yeah. Really.
Now you know my pain from last year. It's the way I felt. I was doing this to AT&T for many months, you know. But the Henkei line basically gave us better decos and upgraded versions of classic toys, and they still are. I mean, every year there's new Henkei figures or United figures eventually, and to me the quintessential United figure has to be Stepper. I've gotten really rid of nearly all of my classics toys, and my United Stepper is the only, I think, one of the only classics molds I still have, because it is just absolutely gorgeous. That mold captures the Jazz/Stepper aesthetic and look so perfectly. I don't think they could have done any better with that guy.
Artfire's awesome, too.
Yeah, I had Artfire.
They look good.
Yeah, I had Artfire, but I let him go because, well, I need the money. Yes. But they,
Nobody ever talks about the Bumblebee mode. I thought the Bumblebee mold was just fine. I just take that stupid jet ski.
What the hell is with that jet ski?
I don't know.
It was some dumb thing that makes no sense. Just throw it in.
It was some dumb little gimmick.
Dinobot Island jetpack. From that.
Yeah, I took mine and threw it in a dumpster.
I think mine's over in a box somewhere. I don't use it. Mm-hmm.
But that mold, I mean, the mold for that thing was great. The transformation wasn't that difficult, and it was fun.
I think that's got to be one of the best head molds, the most iconic and best head molds that they've ever done for Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah, it was perfect. I thought it was excellent. Even when they redid it as Cliffjumper, it worked. And myself, I had no issues with that. There was a lot of people out there that didn't like it or whatever, you know, because, you know, Bumblebee and all their stupid hype, but it's like, that's actually a good mold compared to half the ones we've gotten. So I still think it's one of the coolest. I have that one, and I, like I said, I got the Wheeljacks because, you know, I'm a completist on those. But all the rest of them I don't have anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to have them, most of these. I had all the Seekers, too, every one of them.
Now,
almost all the classics, but I got rid of Prowl because he's garbage.
Yeah, that was another thing that whenever they released the Prowl smokescreen and or a lot of people call it clown screen because he had so much yellow on him inexplicably, which is something that the Henkei version got right. They didn't have all that yellow.
Yeah, I had the Henkei of him.
And then also Silver Streak, a.k.a. Blue Streak. I like the look of them. They almost had that masterpiece-ish look to them as far as the aesthetic, but there was just something off about them. I like the really weird long neck that they had, and the torso was a bit too small, and a lot of people, and I was one of those people that had problem with tacky paint. Anybody else have tacky paint issues?
Yeah, I had two of them. The first one was really tacky.
And it's almost like they,
around somewhere.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't let them cure long enough before they were packaged. And you know, you couldn't transform it without getting fingerprints all over it. There's probably a classics prowl and blue streak and smoke screen out there somewhere. It's got my fingerprint, my thumbprint perfectly embedded in the paint on the back of the windshield and stuff. And the further problem that mold had was that the door wings were molded out of translucent plastic and tended to break off rather easily.
Yeah, I had two break. Prowl and the Hasbro smoke screen. Both.
But okay, now there's two things that I want to talk about before we wrap tonight that involves the Classics and Henkei Universe conglomeration. One, the impact that Classics had upon the third party industry, which is huge, and two, I want to talk about where Classics is today and where it's going. I mean, obviously, we're going to get more Classics because, as Brycey said early, maybe in the pre-show or something, it's almost like Classics are like the poor man's G1 anymore. And there for a while, it wasn't a poor man's market because Classics were going for pretty pennies. And Brett, you know that as much as anybody. I mean, you dealt in them quite a bit. And over the last probably 3 or 4 years, I mean, Classics went from up here down to, I mean, you can get them for almost pennies on the dollar. But Brett, you want to talk a little bit about the impact of the Classics line on third parties?
Sure. Well, we were talking about it before, and I didn't pull it down, but the Ultra Magnus,
I got one of those,
Power, was it called Power Commander?
City Commander.
That one, to me, I mean, still, what is it, 6 years? And it's still, a lot of people consider it to be the best Ultra Magnus we've gotten for the deluxe line. But if you stop and think about it, that was Fans Project's very first home run. But they actually did one before that.
Yeah, that jumper.
But it was such a small run. That one to me is, I still have that one. I love that one. That took a mediocre figure and all it was a simple head sculpt and some accessories. I mean, that's all it was. Well, no. And it had a front, it did a front air dam. So it had a little bit to it. But I mean, it just changed that figure drastically. So you took a $15 toy, all of a sudden now Cliff Jumper, you know, is hard to get. The Ultra Magnus is hard to get. The first time they did the Protector Armor, the Rodimus, as we've mentioned, hard to get. So third party definitely keeps the Classic line going. And, well, and I think they kind of go hand in hand.
It could be argued that the Classics line really kickstarted the third parties.
I absolutely. If it doesn't kickstart it, it definitely keeps it chugging along. Get it? But it keeps it going along.
See what you did there.
Did you see that? Did you see that? I did that on the fly. Yeah, anyway.
One of the things that Classics helps that way is because everything's kind of looks like the character. It's not perfect, so it's easy to skirt the IP.
Well, and it's also...
It's really brought in a lot of companies like Dr. Wu to make accessory weapons and stuff like that to just go with these to fix some of the issues that people have with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And the thing is that a lot of the third party items like Green Giant and everything, they fit in if you have a massive classics collection as an updated G1, which is what 95% of your Classics collectors wanted. They got the updated G1 characters, and they wanted to supplement those G1 characters with these third party characters that are coming out, like the Green Giant. You know, we didn't. We got in universe a Devastator, but it was those weird Energon combiners that were sort of like Devastator, but not. And then we also had the RID build team that was colored like Devastator, again sort of like Devastator, but not. You know, it wasn't six construction vehicles. It wasn't a crane, bulldozer, dump truck, loader, and cement mixer. It was, you know, four other vehicles. You wanted six vehicles that combined together into a robot that looked like Devastator, and that's what we got in third party. And and you set it in a classics collection, and it fits right in for the most part. I mean, sometimes the aesthetic is a little bit off, but it's a trade off that you get because you know obviously they're skirting the IP a little bit with the differentiation and look. But, I mean, without classics, I think it could be argued, without the classics and Henkei and all that, it could be argued that third parties would not be as popular now as they are.
Oh, well, think about it. Let's just go with, look at fans' projects in general. They all of a sudden, now they have their own characters, 100% not kits, 100% standalone characters. Do you think they would have had the backing to do that if the previous releases they had didn't do so well? And
no,
the answer is no, of course not. So it's definitely paved the way. And that's why we're getting these characters that we never would have gotten. You know, we're getting what, three or four Predakings that are coming out now. You know, everyone's finally getting to get their whole completely assembled Predaking. And you get to pick. Maybe you don't like the aesthetics of one. Well, guess what? You got like three or four you get to pick from now.
Yeah. Wow. And it all goes.
Because all these things paved the way.
Yeah. And it all goes into what do you think fits in with your classics or masterpiece the most? And I think that will parlay us into where do you see classics going? And we've already said that Transformers classics are on the decline, but what's taking their place?
Well, the big thing is right now with the obvious stuff that's coming out is combiners. Hasbro doing their own classic version of those. And I think that what that's going to do is it's going to really bring more people into, you know, the guys that can't afford the $500 Minasaur, they're going to be able to buy one that's affordable. It'll sit on the shelf. It might not be as big, but that thing will fit in with, like, even with the mini bots. I mean, they're slightly bigger than mini bots, so they're going to work within the aesthetic. So, personally, I think it's really going to help throw more fuel on the fire, especially when, you know, as much as some people want to complain, that Metroplex, 90% of them out there that have complained have at least had one, and they enjoy the toy.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
that being said, do you see classics coming back with a vengeance, and more collectors going back out there and saying, "Hey, you know, Hasbro's really back online with this classics push by bringing back in these combiners, which will fit in with the classics collection." Do you see a lot more collectors going back out there and picking up classics again, and entrance being renewed in those, or do you see classics continuing on its decline or staying about the same? And what do you see taking the place of classics? I see Masterpiece becoming more and more popular over classics.
That's what I was going to say.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
I agree with that too, because a lot of the hardcore collectors, the guys that really want something that's super articulated, most of them have gotten rid of their classics line and went directly to the Masterpiece line that's come out. But with Hasbro releasing these combiners, this might be a step toward them testing the market to see what people like, see if they like that. And you never know. Hasbro might actually give us a Masterpiece combiner. We don't know. We have no idea. But this is a step in the right direction to get people's attention. So it's obvious, you know, they're doing the right thing right now by releasing the Jetfire and the Roadbuster and stuff like that to kind of give people the aesthetic that they couldn't afford, you know, that $200 Generation 1, you know, Jetfire. And then some of them not very happy with the Generations Jetfire we got, and they go to this newer one, which is actually a lot better. And I see a lot of people tending to really want a lot of these newer toys. I've seen a lot of people, they're very happy with the transformations and stuff. Yeah, Springer has problems. Yeah, Blitzwing has problems. Who cares? But they're fixable problems. They're not problems that you can't repair. So I see a lot of guys really getting into that. But I believe later on it's going to throw more fuel in the fire for more of the Masterpiece, because we have the Ultra Magnus that has yet to hit. We have the Star Saber. We have yet to even see Wheeljack or Bumblebee. So we technically have four Masterpieces right now. We haven't even touched yet.
Yeah, which Wheeljack was actually supposed to hit this month, but it's been delayed till September, I think.
And there's more likely a reason for that. They're probably trying to inflate the market a little bit right before the holidays to have people start buying the things, which makes sense if you think about it.
There's one other thing that I'm thinking of why I think that the Masterpiece is on the rise, that the more people are getting into it. And I'll screen share this one. And I know everyone saw this, but now we have an add-on kit, a third-party add-on kit for a Masterpiece toy.
And this just popped up in the last day or so. So
now, not only do you have, you had Classics and the third-party helped move that along, now you got Masterpiece, which is doing very well, and third party getting onto that one too. So I think it's just going to do nothing but get better and better. I think the Masterpiece line is where it's at. I think that if you, in my opinion, and from what I've seen, if you are wanting to stick to one line or the other, you got to look at your budget. If you can't afford 50 to 100 bucks a toy, then you're going to want to go with the Classics line. If you can afford it, the Masterpiece is the way to go. But, you know, and some people will do both. But I have found that almost like clockwork, Masterpiece, they come out with a Wheeljack. Then all of a sudden everyone gets rid of their classic Wheeljack. Masterpiece comes out with, like when it came out with Prowl, everyone got rid of their Prowls. They move up if they can afford it. But there's still going to always be those people that don't want to plunk down 50, 60 bucks on a Masterpiece. So the Classic line does have a spot.
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, honestly, it's like, you know, you got older collectors like myself. I'll buy, you know, like a really, really cool toy, but then, you know, my son's like, well, that's kind of cool. But if you buy like a Generations toy, you know, for him, it's a lower price point for them to be able to play with a toy that's similar to the one that you own. So that way, you know, the younger generation can actually get these things in hand and see what they're about and actually have a love for the same character. I know that really is kind of, you know, a little farther fetched for some people, but there are people out there that are influencing the younger generation to get into these things, including the comic books and stuff. And I think Generations is still going to have that appeal. And I don't think it's going to go away for a while.
I don't think it is either. I think it's going to be around.
Well, the big thing I see is how many times do they have a Generations figure comes out, you got third party, it builds an add-on. You got the Masterpiece comes out, we got third parties building add-ons for that. So I don't really see it going away, because Hasbro really isn't that ignorant to what's going on. They're like, okay, if we produce this toy with this within our price point, more than likely some third party is going to make some kind of add-on and make it more in demand, which means Hasbro's stock of the stuff might run out, but it's going to make Hasbro make another toy to put out for people to want, because some third party is going to probably make some kind of add-on. So it's going to make the demand continue to get bigger throughout the years.
Well,
especially the guys that are trying to fill up their entire wall full of nothing but the Classics and Hankey, because maybe that's their love. They love that. Yeah. But then you got the guys that want both.
You got also right now the direction that, you know, for the last few years, the Classics line has pretty much been taking Generation 1 characters and updating them into modern forms and modern articulation into the classics. But over the last year or so, we've been seeing more in the Generations Classics line. Yes, they are Generation 1-ish characters, but they're starting to take on the look of the comics comic versions of the characters, like Springer and Tailgate and Swerve, and Whirl. They very much are their. It's almost like, okay, they're giving the old school G1 fans what they want in an updated G1-ish style character. You know, we're getting but they're also giving the comic fans what they want.
Well, yeah, you have to think of it that way. You got the comic book artist that draws out the character, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and I've heard this, and I've listened to a lot of other podcasts and stuff like that, even with BotCon, even a lot of the Artist Alley kind of thing. Some of these artists that are drawing them, they're drawing them so that way you can do a transformation even within the artwork. Now, sometimes it might be that fantasy comic, oh, where did it go kind of thing. But all in all, they're really trying to stay true to, can I draw this and that become a toy later on? And they're really trying to go toward that direction because it makes it easier for the engineers at Hasbro to be able to build this toy. So that way it works out for, you know, the artist to be employed later on to come back and draw another character or do another comic for them. It's really going hand in hand now. And that's one big thing that I've been really excited about is that these artists are finally getting their work. And it's great that an artist can go into a store and pick up that toy that they literally drew 10 or 15 months before. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And that's honestly, honest to God, I think that's probably one of the coolest things about this entire thing that's going on. I mean, we actually have a rise in the artists actually getting recognition for what they're doing now. And
Well, we kind of had this back in Generation 1. We kind of had this in Generation 1. You know, the later G1s, like the Pretenders and the Micromasters, we didn't have those in the cartoon. We didn't get the Zones and everything here in the U.S. We got the comics in Marvel. And matter of fact, I was just talking with Greg or Insane Galvatron about this. A day or two ago, you know, we were reminiscing about some things, some G1s that we got. And I remember my brother getting me G1 Skullgren back in the day. And I loved Skullgren, even though as a toy, he wasn't like the greatest. But I loved it because at that same time, he had heavy characterization in an issue or two of the Marvel comics. I had just read those comics, so I was familiar with the Skullgren character. And wow, here I had it in my hand, you know, and I loved that, you know. And I think that's what a lot of the comic fans are getting today. And I see the universe line started out as just a straight up repaint. Here's some repaints of old toys, and then it kind of morphed into the classics where it was updated Generation 1 characters. Here you go. And now it's, okay, you got updated G1 characters, but it's more of a comic derivative than G1 of anything. That's where I see, it's almost like the, and it's almost like the masterpieces that we have today. Some of the ideas that they got from the classics line, and somebody's audio is like really bad right now, but it's like some of the ideas that they got from the classics line, they used in Masterpiece, and some of the aesthetics that they got in the classics line, they're using now in the IDW Generations. And it's almost like the universe started out as nothing to do with G1, then it came in and basically old G1s are updated again, and then it diverges, and then you have masterpieces that are really hardcore G1 aesthetic and updates of G1. And the Generations and Classics are now kind of diverging away. They're not so much G1 hardcore updates. They're more after the comics, and it's almost like they're diverging and going two separate ways. And that's kind of what I see of the future. You know, we see if we want a G1 update, we're going to get a masterpiece. And if we want something that's in the comics, we're going to start getting more and more comic-based characters that weren't necessarily G1 characters. I foresee that in the next couple of years because, you know, they're going to start coming out. IDW is going to start coming out with comics that aren't necessarily G1 based, but they're going to be in that universe where we see G1 characters like Rodimus and Prowl and some of those guys. They're going to start introducing more and more of those characters like Rung, that a lot of fans like, oh man, he is so awesome. I would not be surprised to see a Rung character in Generations coming up.
My thing is like, you know, with the masterpiece stuff, it seems like what they're trying to do is go through and do every single solitary 1984 toy there was, but super articulated and crazy. But with the Generation stuff, they're trying to give a G1 homage, but they're trying to do the IDW kick, but they're also trying to bring in more lines like Generation 2. They're trying to bring in, you know, a few of the Beast Wars stuff, because right now we're kind of in a really, really odd sense kind of thing, because you've got guys right now that have money to spend on G2 that missed out on getting G2. Same thing with Beast Wars. Same thing with Armada, because we have an Armada Starscream that's out, but we also have an Armada Megatron that's going to be coming out soon that are all classics. We have yet to see any masterpieces of any of those yet, but I can probably see within the next 2.5 to 3 years, we probably will end up seeing some kind of masterpiece that's either going to probably be Beast Wars or Armada. It'll end up happening soon, really soon, because it's going that direction. We already got a G2 Sideswipe, so that's all that was our first G2.
Well, we're also getting a Generations Brainstorm, which, yes, he's a headmaster, but he's very comic oriented, and we're starting to get some of those later G1 characters. Scoop, we're getting the Brainstorm, getting RC. You know, we're getting some of those later characters that weren't part of the 1984-85 class. You know, so. I do see the gradual. Okay, you know, we're moving on from the early days of G1. We're getting into the latter days of G1. We're definitely going to see more and more G2 repaints and color schemes. I honestly see the Minasaur, the Stunicon set. I can see that being easily redecoed into G2 as well as the Superion. There's a G2 Superion deco of that. I can see them doing that. If not through official or wide release, I can see the club doing that as an official release.
That's very true, but myself as a customizer, I'm probably not going to go shell out a ton of money for that particular set when I can do it myself for a cheaper set. So you never know. We don't know what we're going to get because, honestly, I think they're testing water with those combiners. And once those things come out, and say it comes out and it's got an issue here, it's got an issue there, there's going to be a third party that's going to make a fix for it. You already know that. That's going to end up happening because look at Fall of Cybertron Bruticus. There's 2 or 3 different type of add-on kits you can get for him now. And the array of colors there are of him. So I know for a fact that they're going to end up doing something with that entire line because they're not going to just give us 2 combiners and that's it. They're more than likely going to re-engineer some of the stuff to give us other, you know, combining sets, and then maybe later on revisit and give us other colors of them or something like that. Because, I mean, they had the G2 Bruticus that was literally released almost the same time as the Skittles and everything else through Amazon. So I don't see them probably, you know, if they're going to hold out on a G2 color, they might make it like an Amazon exclusive or something like that again, because those did sell pretty well. A lot of them sat there for a while, but, I mean, we don't know how many they produced either. We have no idea the number of how many they make. It's kind of like all the guys that bought a Fort Max. We don't know how many BBTS is still sitting on. They could have ordered 2 truckloads of these things thinking everybody's going to buy one, and now they're down to maybe a crate and a half, but they still have some. We don't know how many are sitting in their warehouse. So it's just how it works. It's supply and demand. So a lot of these guys, and honestly, I think the thing that's really going to throw the fuel on the fire for a G2 Minasaur was that stupid eBay auction we followed. Everybody followed it. $65,000 for that? Come on. There ain't a damn thing worth that.
Wasn't, that's crazy. It wasn't $65,000. It was like $30,000, wasn't it?
$35,000.
It was right under $27,000.
All I got to say is that's a brand new car. Was it really worth that? Really not.
It was to the buyer.
I don't know.
It was to the buyer.
And to the other guy that was trying to get it from.
Yep. It only took 2 people.
Yeah.
It only takes 2 to tango.
Yes. Well, anybody have any closing thoughts on generations before we, or classics before we close? Nope. Well, I do want to remind people again, check out our YouTube channel and subscribe, and also on our iTunes. Please rate us on there. And share us with your friends. We're only going to get better. The TFYLP newsstand that's coming in a couple weeks is just the beginning. We're going to be expanding out a little bit more and a little bit more each show. I've got a couple other ideas that I'm tossing around in my head for some extra shows. We eventually do want to return to a Tuesday show as well. But it's going to have a little bit different flair than what you see on Friday nights. The Friday night show, if for all you wrestling fans out there, the primetime wrestling, Monday Night Raw, Monday Nitro, that's probably the best description of what we refer to as TFYLP as our main show. And then we're going to have other shows on other days of the week that are maybe smaller and more focused. You won't hear as broad a discussion as far as like toys and learning about things and just our general thoughts on news. But you know, we're going to have different ideas and different things coming out here in coming months. Like I said, I've been talking with I Am Unicron about some ideas about news and everything. I know Megamus is preparing to do some TFYLP minutes with some comparison videos, and we've just got so many things coming down the pipeline. And a lot of people remember Chad Williams, Slagicon. He hasn't completely disappeared. He's still kind of working as a fan behind the scenes and everything. And I've been talking with him almost on a nightly basis, and we've been bouncing ideas off of each other. And the TFYLP newsstand is one of the brainchilds of that, those discussions. It's like, well, what if we did this? How do you think that would go over? And we discussed that at length. And we hope that you fans enjoy this, and support it and help it grow. And it's going to start in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about it a little more next week and the week after. Just going to keep pimping it out and hope you guys latch on to it, because I know there's a lot of comic fans out there, a lot of people that follow those. It's really, really going to be comic-centric. There's not going to be as much toy discussion on there. There may be references to toys, but it's going to be hardcore comic and print discussion. So if you're really into that, check out TFYLP newsstand coming up. Anybody else want to talk about something before we close? Any news or anything that really popped out to anybody?
Good to go.
Well, I believe that'll wrap us up for this edition of TFYLP. I want to thank you guys for listening, and tune in next time, same bat time, same bat channel, for another episode of Transformers for Listening Pleasure. Brycey, Megamus, Plasticon, thank you guys for joining us. This is Weird Wolf. We'll see you next time.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.